Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 499, titled The Seco Spring of 2001. This is being recorded on February 20th of the year 2005. This broadcast is going to consist largely of collation and review of various portions of information that have been in past broadcasts. However, I'm going to be putting these together in a fashion that will lay emphasis on some critical transactions that took place in connection with the Seco Company in early 2001. Now, Seco stands for the Saudi Investment Company. It is the European holding company for many of the assets of the fabulously wealthy and powerful bin Laden family. Seco is headed by Islam bin Laden, Osama bin Laden's half-brother, an allegedly estranged half-brother, but as we're going to review, it appears that in fact Islam bin Laden's claim of having separated himself from his relatives is not altogether accurate. And in particular, what we're going to be doing during the course of this broadcast is following the money. We're going to take a look at some interesting transactions that people involved with Seco were engaged in early 2001, and what we're going to be doing is asking the question, to what extent are these activities connected with one another, and in turn, to what extent do these activities connect up with the events in and around September 11th? Something that I indicated in For the Record 498 was that I think in many ways Seco is a key to understanding September 11th. Maybe if one could say there was a key, then that is Seco. September 11th is an incredibly complicated event, and there are many different aspects of it. There are the Saudi Arabian aspects. There are the aspects dealing with elements of the Bush administration. There are aspects dealing with some intelligence community-connected drug trafficking networks that are either descended from and or overlapping some of the Iran-Contra-connected networks. We are also looking at the events in Florida that Daniel Hopsicker has so heroically covered in his book Welcome to Terrorland, and also in some of the articles from his madcalprod.com. And we're going to be taking a look at some of the Nazi connections, too. Some of the old guard dating from the Third Reich, and some of the so-called neo-Nazis as well. I don't like the term neo-Nazi. I think that, first of all, it's deceptive. It sort of indicates, well, these aren't real Nazis. They're only neo-Nazis. Well, they're real Nazis. They're just the next generation. I also think it is disrespectful to a certain extent, and one should respect one's opponents. But we're going to be looking at the Seco Spring of 2001 and the ways in which Seco draws together so many of these seemingly disparate elements. So-called neo-Nazis, the old guard of the Third Reich, Saudi Arabia, other Arab nations, the Muslim Brotherhood, the Iran-Contra-connected drug smuggling activities, the world of covert operations in Florida, and we're going to see how some of these things overlap. And I think in many ways a pivot point, a connecting nexus, and consequently, I think, one of the most important elements to understand in order to gain a grasp of the complex and very important events of September 11th is Seco. And we're going to take a look at what I have dubbed the Seco Spring of 2001. We're going to begin by reviewing an article that we looked at in For the Record 495. This is a Reuters story headlined, French Magistrate Widens Bin Laden Finance Probe. It's from December 25th of 2004, and it reads in part as follows. A French judge has widened a probe into the financial network surrounding the family of Osama bin Laden after questioning his half-brother and learning of a 241 million euro transfer to Pakistan, Le Monde Daily said. Investigating Magistrate Renaud van Rombeek received court authorization to extend his investigation after Islam bin Laden was questioned on September 27th over allegations of links with the organizers of attacks in 2001 in the United States, the paper said in its Saturday edition. As a result, van Rombeek was adding, quote, other instances of money laundering, unquote, to the probe already underway, Le Monde said. The court was unreachable for comment on Saturday. On December 5, 2001, French authorities opened an investigation into financial transfers carried out through Paris between firms grouped within the Saudi Investment Company, or Seco, run by Islam bin Laden, who also manages some assets of the family's Saudi bin Laden Group, or SBG. Yaslam bin Laden was questioned by the French judge in 2002 and has handed over a copy of documents detailing the distribution of the bin Laden family wealth of 54 brothers and sisters after the death of their father in 1967. Although he denied having had any contact with his half-brother for the past 20 years, the paper said, documents held by Swiss banking authorities suggest that Yaslam and Osama bin Laden held a joint account in Switzerland between 1990 and 1997, according to Jean-Charles Brizal, a private investigator hired by families of the victims of the September 11th attacks. Yaslam told French investigators in September that he had omitted to mention the existence of that account, while still insisting he had not mixed with his half-brother, Le Monde said. Yaslam bin Laden's Swiss-based lawyer, Pierre Dupreux, could not immediately be reached by Reuters for comment. Skipping down, the French authorities, however, say the facts require further checking. Brizal notified von Rombeek on September 6 this year of several suspicious fund transfers, Le Monde said. The investigator noted a 241 million euro transfer made to Pakistan in 2000 from an account belonging to a company called Cambridge, an SBG subsidiary that was opened at Deutsche Bank in Geneva, the paper added. U.S. authorities are aware of the existence of those funds, which they believe were transferred into an account belonging jointly to Osama bin Laden and someone of Pakistani nationality, it said. The French authorities say the presence of SICO within the Saudi bin Laden group's orbit in Geneva justifies its probe, Le Monde added. So again, note that a French justice, Mr. Renaud van Rombeek, and that spelling will be in the description for this show, has widened the probe into SICO. And we're going to review a couple of elements right now. We're going to turn to the vitally important book, Welcome to Terrorland, Mohammed Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida. That, of course, was authored by Daniel Hopsicker, and that book has been the focal point of three interviews with Daniel Hopsicker. For people that are serious about researching September 11th, this is a must-read book. It's very readable. It also is just packed full of absolutely essential information, and there's a whole lot more going on here than the public has been told. And anyway, it's just a really important book. Now, one of the things that I think makes SICO a key is the fact that SICO's aviation subsidiary, and SICO has an aviation subsidiary, was training its pilots for Avcon Business Jets SA at, surprise, surprise, little old Huffman Aviation. That's the tiny little aviation school in Venice, Florida, run by Rudy Deckers, one of the so-called Magic Dutch boys. And it was at this flight school that Mohammed Atta and some of the other 9/11 hijackers basically were ensconced. They weren't taking training, really, at those schools, because as we saw in our interviews with Daniel Hopsicker, these pilots, or at least some of them, including Mohammed Atta, were very experienced pilots. The networks running through Huffman Aviation and related institutions are inextricably linked with, though not necessarily coterminous with, various drug smuggling operations, including some that appear to be either extensions of or connected to, in some ways, the Iran-Contra-connected drug smuggling operations that we looked at such great length in the massive amount of material that we did about the Iran-Contra affair. Probably the best known of the investigations into the Iran-Contra drug smuggling was Gary Webb's series from the San Jose Mercury News, the late Gary Webb series in the San Jose Mercury News. Turning now to Mohammed Atta, or Welcome to Terrorland, Mohammed Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida by Daniel Hopsicker, reviewing the SICO connection to tiny little Huffman Aviation, where Mohammed Atta was basically ensconced in a German milieu in Florida, of all places, and apparently some of his associates were the sons and daughters of prominent German industrialists, something which would appear to be incomprehensible to, I think, the naive listener, but I think to veteran listeners to this broadcast, and find in particular those familiar with Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, authored by the late heroic Paul Manning, that would not seem so strange. Anyway, from Welcome to Terrorland by Daniel Hopsicker, of the SICO Aviation subsidiary's training of pilots at tiny little Huffman Aviation, which was also the vehicle for the infiltration of some of the 9/11 hijackers, including Atta, we read, Swiss police questioned Yaslam bin Laden because one of his companies, Avcon Air Charter, had offered flight training to clients at the Venice flight school attended by some of the hijackers. as a result of what Le Monde called a still unexplained coincidence, unquote. The pilots of Islam bin Laden's company trained at Huffman Aviation in Florida, the paper said. Quote, I didn't choose that flight school, Islam protested, again quoting, I don't have contact with my half-brother since over 20 years ago, unquote. The Swiss magazine L'Hebdo reported that Swiss federal inspectors were seeking information on the activities of several bin Laden family companies, including Geneva-based Saudi Investment Company, a financial clearinghouse for the family's international investments, and Avcon Business Jets S.A., which owned a fleet of private jets which it leased to clients. So again, note that the French are expanding their inquiry into Osama bin Laden's half-brother and his company, Seco. Note that Seco was training pilots right down at Little Ol' Huffman Aviation in Venice, Florida, along with people like Mohammed Atta and some of his German associates. We're going to review some information now from a pivotally important book, a book that anticipates many of the investigative elements to be found within a serious looking into of September 11th. That book is called Dollars for Terror, subtitled The United States and Islam. It was authored by Richard LaBerviere and translated by Martin Demers. And the book was published in softcover by Algora Publishing, copyright 2000. It came out in 1999 in French, in 2000 in English. This book is a must-read for anyone serious about investigating September 11th. Now, we're going to take a look at Seco, and we're going to review some things that we've spoken about before. First of all, we're going to take a look at how Baudin Dunant, a Swiss-based lawyer who is a member of the board of directors of Seco and was at one time co-chairman of the board of directors of Seco, set up a number of offshore accounts for Seco that were apparently used for some of the overlapping covert operations in the 1980s. Specifically, there were three large covert operations in the 1980s that overlapped one another. The Iran-Contra affair, in which U.S. arms were being sent to Iran and East Bloc arms were being sent to the Contra guerrillas in Latin America, with drugs being trafficked around the world to help finance some of those deals. We also took a look at the Iraqgate scandal, in which overlapped the Iran-Contra affair, the directing authority, the executive authority in both the Iran-Contra affair and in the Iraqgate scandal, the elder George Bush. The Iraqgate scandal involved the sending of arms to Saddam Hussein. Some of the same institutions were used, such as the BCCI. And we also took a look at the arming of the Afghan Mujahideen, also directed by the elder George Bush, and also involving institutions like the BCCI, and also involving the use of narcotics trafficking to help finance some of the covert operations. In RFA program number 38, among other broadcasts, we've taken a look at some of the covert operations that overlapped Seco, specifically the Shikarkhi AG case. The Shikarkhi AG case was one of the Iran-Contra-connected drug smuggling operations in which heroin was being run through Europe to apparently finance some of the covert, some of the activities of the Reagan-Bush administration's covertistan in the Middle East. And one of the names that cropped up in connection with the Shikarkhi AG case, Mohammed Shikarkhi, is a member of the board of directors of Seco, along with Baudin Dunant and a fellow named Charles Shah, whom we will talk about. The Shikarkhi AG case involved Manzer El-Kassar, drug trafficker, weapons trafficker, and terrorist supporter extraordinaire, a primary operative of the Bush and Reagan administration's covertistan in Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan. And one of the people that was involved with the Shikarkhi AG case was someone identified as Avni Yasser Musululu, which in the European press was identified as an alias for Aral Çelik, one of the Turkish gray wolves that was involved with Mehmet Ali Aja in shooting the Pope. And there's a massive series that we did, RFA program 17 through 21, about the shooting of the Pope. What we're going to do now is to review some information for Dollars for Terror. Now, pay close attention here to Baudin Dunant, member of the board of directors of Seco, co-chairman of the board of directors of Seco at one point, and his setting up of various offshore organizations that were used for some of the covert operations of the 80s and 90s, the covertistan that the Reagan-Bush administration was running in the Middle East, and also these activities appear to have financed some of the activities of Al-Qaeda as well. Turning now to Dollars for Terror by Richard LaBeviere. Very little information is publicly available on the activities of the Bin Laden Organization, except for a luxurious brochure that gives a general presentation of its various services. The group does not publish an annual report. A Lebanese banker, very anxious to preserve his anonymity, indicated to us that the group has a large subsidiary company, Saudi Investment Company, or SICO, whose head office is in Geneva, but which has branches in other European countries, the United States, the Arab countries, and in several tax havens, including the Bahamas. Created in May of 1980 in Switzerland, SICO, whose stated activities are wealth management and investment services, unquote, is directed by Yaslem bin Laden, brother of Bakir bin Laden, the patriarch of the family. Its board of directors includes, in particular, a Swiss business lawyer, Baudin Dunant Esquire, who also worked for the big Lebanese group William Kazan. A memo from a European intelligence agency specifies that since 1984, this lawyer has created for SICO numerous offshore companies in tax havens. Frank Warren also sits on the board. He is president of an American sporting goods company and a shipping company, Proteus, along with a Swede, Kjell Carlson, and two Swiss, Bruno Weiss and Beatrice Dufour, ex-sister-in-law of Yaslam bin Laden, who divorced Carmen Dufour in May 1997. Two other branches of the bin Laden empire developed as holding companies. The first, Falcon Limited, is based in the Cayman Islands, and the second, also baptized SICO, is registered in Curaçao. Falcon Limited controls SICO London, which was founded in 1984, and is directed by Beatrice Dufour, and SICO Great Britain, created in 1985 under the direction of Baudin Dunant Esquire. SICO Curaçao, whose director is Yaslem bin Laden, is a player on the real estate market worldwide. The board also comprises Saleh bin Laden, Beatrice Dufour, and an American real estate developer, Charles Tickle. The bin Laden empire invested in a private airline that offered services between Great Britain, Switzerland, and Saudi Arabia. It employed 175 pilots and had about 50 pieces of equipment between 1995 and 1997. At that time, its two principal shareholders were a Swiss businessman and Yaslem bin Laden, the president of SICO. While there's nothing criminal in such an organizational chart in itself, this is still an exemplary outline of the complexity of the ensemble of shell companies that can be used to disguise what the experts call the legal financing, unquote, of terrorism, a sort of reverse laundering, unquote, that takes full advantage of all the banking industry's secrecy. Here, clean money becomes criminal as it flows through legal companies and, quote, investments, unquote, leaving no hint to suggest that it might later be diverted. It's hard, then, to identify the chinks whereby this money might nevertheless leak out to become criminal. For example, the Thai intelligence agency affirms that bin Laden's brother-in-law, Mohammed Jamel Khalifa, regional manager of the International Islamic Relief Organization, or IIRO, is used as a screen for the financing of several Philippine Islamist organizations. Activists from these groups show up in the training camps in Pakistan and in Afghanistan, and at the Islamic International University of Islamabad, which is known to be used as a cover for students eager to acquire a paramilitary education. The zones of porosity are hard to identify precisely. Without leaving a paper trail, the funds are transferred directly into liquidities, and the actors are seldom caught with their hands in the bag. Quote, "That's the trouble with money," unquote, explains George Cardouche, the president of the Association of Arab Bankers in London. "If an honorable company decides to invest in another company which gives funds to such and such humanitarian organization or charitable organization, which itself may transfer the funds to extremist groups, there's nothing you can do about it. Money is like water. It seeks level ground, and therefore it runs wherever it can," unquote. The same viewpoint can be heard in the Geneva Business District, where the bin Laden organization enjoys a solid banking reputation, just like SICO, an honorable and above-board organization installed in a patrician house in the center of the city of Calvin. While he does not spend most of his time among the financiers and business lawyers of Geneva, its boss, Yaslem bin Laden, fuels conversations not only because he continues to maintain contact with his famous brother, but especially because of the war that raged at the top of the bin Laden empire. Quote, In concert with Osama, relates a businessman who hails from one of the Gulf states, again quoting, Yaslem bin Laden is suspected by his own family of instigating the death of his elder brother, Salem Mohammed bin Laden. The latter perished in a mysterious explosion of his private jet during takeoff at the airport of Riyadh in 1988. By the way, I would add that James R. Bath, one of the Texas business associates of George W. Bush, was the North American business representative for this very same Salem bin Laden. And it appears that some of the capital that went to finance Arbusto Energy may very well have come through Salem bin Laden, using James R. Bath as something of a cutout. Continuing. Speaking of Salem bin Laden, the latter perished in a mysterious explosion of his private jet during takeoff at the airport of Riyadh in 1988. The cause of the explosion was never explained, and the Saudi police force abruptly marked the case as classified. In Riyadh, it's considered that this attack made it possible for Yaslem to be propelled to the head of SECO at the very moment when it was building offshore companies specialized in the traffic of weapons bound for Afghanistan, unquote. Other sources confirm this account, and the frequent meetings between Osama and several of his brothers in Khartoum in Yemen starting in 1990. It is indeed by tracking the parallel traffic in arms and drugs that one inevitably finds traces of the banker of the jihad, unquote. By the way, that latter is a nickname that Richard LaBeviere uses for Osama bin Laden. We're going to turn now, again by way of review, to a very important paper that is written about Al-Taqwa, about bin Laden. This was authored by Kevin Coogan, the author of the consummately important Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey, in the Postwar Fascist International. This article is called Report on Islamists, the Far Right, and Al-Taqwa. It was published in September of 2002, and it makes heavy use of a very important book published in Europe by Hermania and Johannes von Donani, called Schmutzige Geschäfte und Heiliger Krieg, or Dirty Business and Holy War. Just speaking strictly personally, it would be great to see that book get republished in English in the United States. I would love to read it. In any event, talking about Yaslem bin Laden and the aforementioned Baudin Dunant. Now, recall in Dollars for Terror, we took a look at Baudin Dunant and his role in setting up these various offshore fronts for SECO, and it appears that a lot of those offshore fronts were used for some of the covert operations involved in the overlapping operations of the Reagan and Bush administrations, activities in what I call covertistan. From the report on Islamists, the Far Right, and Al-Taqwa by Kevin Coogan, we read, Yaslem bin Laden knows his life is now under the microscope. Why did he fly, for example, 9 times to Milan? Each stop was so short, reports a member of the maintenance team at the private Forlanini airport, that it couldn't be for shopping. 6 times, bin Laden came to Milan from his domicile in Cannes, and because of EU regulations, these flights were considered domestic, and no list of passengers was required to be filed. But 3 times he flew in from Zurich, and Italian border police have copies of the passenger list. Here, there's a puzzle, as one name is Carlos Rochat, R-O-C-H-A-T, unquote, but there is no Carlos Rochat known to investigators. However, there is a Charles Rochat, R-O-C-H-A-T, who is on the SECO advisory board. Is this a typo, or is there someone else using a false passport? They can't get an answer from Yaslam bin Laden, who is silent on this matter. It is equally possible that bin Laden's silence about Rochat is meant to avoid other problems that might arise, such as why Charles Rochat and Baudin Dunant, 2 members of the SECO advisory board who were attorneys, on May 21, 2001, liquidated the business Tyndall Trust that had first been registered in Villars-sur-Glâne near Fribourg in January of 1986. They fulfilled the same function for a sister society of the Tyndall Trust that shared the same name and that was opened up in Geneva in 1990 and liquidated in January of 2001. One of the top managers of the Tyndall Trust since its founding was the American tax attorney Willard Zucker, who lives in Geneva. Zucker also controls the Lake Geneva-registered Compagnie de Services Fiduciaires, or CSF. And CSF had, along with participation from Tyndall Trust, assumed financial management of a corporate group named Enterprise. Enterprise, however, had nothing to do with the successor company to the 1983 founded successor to the Albert Hakim and U.S. General Richard Secord founded Stanford Technologies Trading Group International, or STTGI, which later changed its name to Enterprise and administered secret and illegal weapons shipments with Iran and the Contras. The same Willard Zucker arranged payments from the Enterprise account for Oliver North. In 1986, the Syrian Manzer al-Qassar was paid from an Enterprise account for a weapons deal with the Contras. But al-Qassar was not only one of the world's great weapons dealers, he also had close ties with Islamic fundamentalist and terrorist groups in the Middle East. Al-Qassar also worked with an international group interested in sending toxic and atomic waste materials by ship to Mozambique. As for Zucker, he has consistently denied that any of his activity on behalf of the Enterprise Group from America infringed on Swiss or U.S. law. So one of the things I want to focus people on, first of all, the fact that there was an organization called Enterprise, run by some of the same people who were operating the Iran-Contra-connected exercise in the early 80s. It is alleged here that that's not connected to the original Enterprise. I suspect that there may very well be a connection, despite the disclaimer here. I also want to note that Baudin Dunant, again, co-chairman of the board of directors of SECO, the fellow who was setting up those offshore accounts we read about in Dollars for Terror, and another member of the board of directors, Charles Rochat, perhaps the same Carlos Rochat, who was hopping around Europe and stopping for very short periods of time with Osama bin Laden, in particular going to Milan, Italy. Milan, Italy is a major epicenter of Islamist activities and parts of the Al-Taqwa network. I want to note that Baudin Dunant and Charles Rochat on May 21st of 2001 liquidated the business Tyndall Trust that had been first registered in January of 86. They did the same thing for a sister society of the Tyndall Trust that shared the same name and that was opened up in Geneva in 1990 and liquidated in January of 2001. And again, note the people that they were doing these activities with included Willard Zucker, a prime operative in the Iran-Contra-related activities, and note that one of the many people who dealt with the, quote, Enterprise, unquote, that was involved with Iran-Contra, the same Manzer al-Qassar who was involved with so many of the Iran-Contra-connected activities, including Shikarchi AG. So this is a very, very, very interesting activity indeed, and one wonders exactly what is taking place here, bearing in mind more about the activities of SECO in connection with covert operations. The French-Swiss Lucien Roulet was until 2001 not only advisor to the DMI and Quatrain, but he also was an advisor to Faisal Finance SA and the Faisal Islamic Bank. At the same time, Roulet was linked to the Geneva-registered MKS Finance SA, owned by the Shikarchi brothers. In the 1980s, Shikarchi Trading sent not just $25 million of CIA money to Afghanistan, but also was involved in drug money for the Turkish mafia. And that, again, refers to the milieu of which Shikarchi AG was a major part. And note again, and this complicated and many-branched business was the British branch of the Geneva-registered Saudi Investment Company, or SECO. Now, we're going to take a look at more of the activities in the Saudi Spring of the SECO Spring of 2001 Inside 2. Remember, Spitfire stocks all of the CDs, www.spitfirelist.com, descriptions of the shows, Martin Borman, Nazi in Exile, and links to two sites maintained by sister station WFMU that are archiving the For the Record shows on Real Audio, and now they're available in MP3 as well. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 499, The SECO Spring of 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.